Welcome to Dubi Honig's Orthodox Jewish Chamber of Commerce Business Weekly Podcast, hosted by Jacob Rupp. We will be interviewing business industry leaders who will be sharing their expertise and business insights to help you succeed.
Chris Gronkowski, thank you so much for joining us today after a very successful bid on Shark Tank. Apparently, you love competing. You have five brothers who are all very competitive. Turns out that you actually created a major bidding war on Shark Tank. Can you tell me a little bit what it was like, just first of all, getting on the show and then essentially creating a product that everyone was so inspired about that they were fighting amongst themselves?
Hey, that's the best feeling in the world, to be up there and going in, you don't even know if you're going to get one offer. You watch previous episodes where they're on there just chewing people apart, and these people are walking on there thinking they have the best idea in the world, and they're walking out of there thinking, they might not even have anything. So to walk in there and get that first offer on the table, that was absolutely huge for me. And there's no better feeling than having five sharks fighting over you.
And who ended up investing in, and how was it structured?
So I ended up with two sharks. I ended up getting Alex Rodriguez and Mark Cuban. So I was asking $100,000 for 10%. They came in $150,000 for 15%. So they wanted a little more in the game, and they gave me my valuation I was asking, though. So
it all. What was that like when you realized you were going to get it? How did you feel?
That's exactly what I wanted going in. I wanted to lock up the trifecta. We had the NFL on lock, MLB, NBA. So we locked up the trifecta in the sports world, and you can't ask for anything more than that with a product that's geared towards sports and nutrition.
Unbelievable. How did you first approach Shark Tank, and how did you go about getting on?
I actually had an email sent out in 2013 from my agent that was asking if anyone was interested, that were former players that you could try out for the show. So I thought it was a cool idea at the time, and I didn't have anything. I was just leaving the NFL at the time, and I just thought, hey, one day if I do think of something, I'll come back to my agent and ask for a contact and try to get involved and all that. And then I had to go through all the steps, make the videos, all that, and was just hoping to get on the show.
Unbelievable. Tell me a little bit how you came up with this invention, which is your second successful thing that you've been working on. Your second successful entrepreneurial venture that you've been working on. But how did you come up with the invention in the first place?
Hey, so I was in the gym in the Texas heat, and I went to the gym, and by the time I got there, I had the plastic shaker bottle that everyone has. I had hundreds of them. My cabinet's full of them. I used them my whole life. By the time I got there, my drink was warm. My bottle still had the lingering taste in it from my shake the day before. I was making all these little sweat rings on the ground, and I was actually making little designs on the floor of the gym. And finally, I said, there has to be at least some kind of insulated bottle I can use that I can shake, that's easy to clean, and I could use kind of all day long. So I went home that day, I looked everywhere for it, and I just saw this opportunity in the market that just wasn't there. So I actually created this product because I wanted it for myself. At the time, it wasn't, hey, let's go try to make this big company. It's like, I want this. I need this product for myself, so I'm going to make it. And from there, it came out. It turned out to be awesome, and I decided to chase the opportunity and make a business out of it.
Before you come up with the actual product, what was involved with, once you had the product, what was involved in patenting the idea and learning about how that process worked and the costs associated?
So once just getting the product in hand was the tough part. This was something that no one else had, the double wall, the vacuum insulation, the ability to hold ice for over 30 hours in a shaker bottle form was never done. So I had to go out and get the product completely remade, which ended up being a huge challenge. This took anywhere from about 3 to 5 months, and I went through about 20 different prototypes. And every time we fixed something that was wrong, another problem would arise. So it was frustrating because you're so excited about this new product that you thought of and you want to share with the world. But every time the prototype came back, there were slight issues, and I just wanted to make sure it was perfect, and I had a great product going in when I finally launched the product.
And did you start with patenting the idea? Did you start by creating the idea? Like, what was the, if you could do like a 5-step process there where you went from something has to be better than what I have right now to I now have something I'm ready to get marketing?
Yeah, we had to go out first and first get our hands on something that we could do. So I had to make sure that I had a design that we could work with. And then after that, you could go after the IP and try to protect yourself that way. But first, I went out and got models made and tried a different couple of different factories to find a source that would make something of good quality that I liked. So the initial part was just, hey, we got to go find someone that could actually make this product.
How did your sports background, if you could just give me a little bit about how your sports background helped you, transitioned you, made you have the ability to push through and actually pursue this?
Hey, it's pretty much the sports background gave me just a hard work mentality. I mean, with anything like this, when you start your own business, you're an entrepreneur, you're putting in a ton of hours. It's a grind and it's not going to be successful, especially at the beginning, unless you're putting in long hours. So what I learned is just to continue to work hard and eventually it's going to pay off. And that's what I've done my whole life. And just kept putting the hours in, putting the hard work in, trying to get the name out there. And now it's to a level where, we're happy. It's really taken off and it's going to a whole new level.
What's your next step now that you have these, very powerful connections and have this income of, the investments that they have? What are you going to do now?
So as of now, we're in a lot of talks with different retailers, but I also have new products and new colors that are coming out. We're trying to keep on being innovative and create things that we think our customers are going to want. So those are kind of our two next steps at this point. We're also just trying to handle the extreme rush that's came in from it and just make sure we're ready for the holiday season this year.
How big is your team currently and what are some of the things that you would advise a person that's looking to grow a team that's successful to think about and to look for in bringing in new people?
Well, my team is a lot bigger now with the investment from the two sharks. So I'm able to reach out to them and really use their resources and their team that's been doing this for, with Cuban's team for 9 years now. So, they have the whole process down. They know exactly what to do, the steps to take. So that's been a huge benefit for me. On my side, I have family and friends that came in to help ship the product out, help get us ready and just be ready for the influx. So my mom flew in. I got friends that helped me with it. Do trade shows and stuff with that, really spread the word before this whole boom hit. But just kind of got a close-knit team and a family and friends, and then my new team that I just acquired.
Amazing. From your background, and I'm sure most know, but you have four brothers that you and three other of your brothers went into the NFL. Another went into professional baseball, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
What did your parents do in terms of teaching the kids about competitiveness, about entrepreneurship? What was your background like growing up that led all of these, the five boys to pursue this level of excellence in whatever they're passionate about?
Yeah, growing up, my dad was an entrepreneur, so he started a business from the ground up, from nothing. It was actually in fitness equipment, and he kind of had the same story. He worked out in college. He came back to Buffalo when he couldn't find quality fitness equipment. So he went out and tried to find some good stuff for us to live with and for himself. And he had to go all the way to New Jersey to find a store that actually carried high-end equipment. So he saw that opportunity and started this business. He's now one of the fourth largest distributors, especially fitness equipment in the U.S., like brands like Life Fitness and Precor. And so we got to grow up watching him build this business, working two jobs. And it was just impressive going from nothing, starting it up. And we had that background, but the competitiveness just came from having five brothers in a family, and just every day it was a brawl. It was a competition. Everything we did, was all out, and someone had to win and someone had to lose. So that's where all the competitiveness came from, and just really drove us to succeed in everything that we've done so far.
Now that you are a father, are you thinking or are you planning on trying to raise your own children with this same sense of competitiveness or entrepreneurial spirit? Or is there like one important lesson you think that parents should be trying to put onto their children to help them achieve their goals?
Absolutely. I see a lot of parents just give their kids the world and you have a lot of money and you're able to do that. And that's something that you always feel like you have to do as a parent. And I always said I wouldn't, and I have a kid now and I see why it happens, because you want to give them the world. My dad always taught us, and my mom was, we had to earn everything. We didn't get a free car. We didn't get anything that we didn't deserve or earn. So we had to work, paper routes when we were young. We worked for my dad growing up. Everything we did, we had to earn ourselves. Even if they did have the money, they weren't going to just hand it over to us. And I think that's a huge lesson for anyone raising kids, is You can't just give handouts because they're going to expect that their whole life. They're never going to learn how to work hard and how to work for their money.
As a former NFL player and as a businessman now, looking at this very large controversy that's surrounding the NFL and politics and everything like that, do you have an opinion on that and how whether or not that should be going on, not going on, how to resolve it?
About the kneeling part?
Yeah.
Okay. To me, I think it's you can say that it's not directed or you know it's no offense to the military, but what you're doing and your actions speak louder than your words. So to me, I think there's a way to do it, and you know there's a way not to do it. And the way that people are protesting is in direct you know offense to people that do serve. And growing up and with football and doing stuff with the military, you know the flag means everything to them, and you know they raise every morning you wake up to the flag and raise the flag. So no matter what you say, your actions speak louder than your words. So there is a way to protest, and I don't think that's the right way to do it. And these guys that are kneeling, I would like to see them out in the community, you know, doing stuff to help these kids and the situation that they're trying to protest. So like us and my family, we have a Gronk Nation Youth Foundation where we go out and help the kids and we buy fitness equipment and sports equipment, and we try to help better their lives through sports.
To what extent do you feel in terms of your own company that social causes should be part of the business? Should that just be as the entrepreneur is more successful that they're looking to contribute for social causes? Or how do you look at that from a brand perspective versus a personal perspective?
It's tough. I think it's a tough situation at first. I mean, when you're really starting off and you're grinding, it's hard to give back to you know, a social cause when you're just starting off and you don't have the money to do it. As you get more successful, and I think it's a great thing to do. And once you have that, you're established and you can do it, that's when you go out and branch off. And it really helps your brand, and it also helps the community, and you feel great about it. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Can you share one moment or a few moments in your football career that you found were really like transformational or life-changing for you?
Yeah, I would say I had my first injury. I would say it was definitely an eye opener, kind of changed everything. But I was running down on punt coverage. I reach out and tackled Darren Sproles, and I tear my pec straight off, and had to finish out the game. But you know, you realize like that you're not invincible anymore, and that there's something that comes after football, and you have to be prepared for it. So that was a huge eye opener for me. Just getting ready for the future and preparing for life after football.
Did you embrace that with fear? Did you embrace that with disappointment? Did you feel comfortable with that when you had that realization?
It's definitely probably the worst feeling in the world, just because you feel like you let your team down, and that you know you're there to help them, and you're a big team, and you have that team camaraderie, and so you're sitting there and you feel like you did them a disservice, but it's definitely an eye-opener as well, and had me start thinking about the future and what I was going to do after ball. And I did start preparing at that point for life after football.
Amazing. Tell us a little bit more just about how we can find the Ice Shaker, what your future is. Obviously, you know, with the upcoming holiday season, you're trying to rush to get different colors out. But how do people follow you? How do people follow your product now that it's really flying forward?
Hey, absolutely. We have our website, iceshaker.com. I'll go in a little bit more about the product. I got it right here. So I carry it around with me all day, every day. It's a vacuum insulated double wall shaker bottle. So it'll hold ice for over 30 hours. We fill it with just ice. It doesn't absorb odor like a plastic bottle does. So it's perfect for protein and mixing powders, stuff like that. We have some new added features that a lot of people have been asking about. So I'll show you really quick. We have this cool little agitator. So it actually screws off, which is kind of hard to portray in the pictures, but you can twist it off. So if you're not mixing, you can leave it home. It also works great for throwing fruit in it, kind of using it like a fruit infuser. Also works great as a strainer, actually, because a lot of these cups, the ice will actually get stuck in the hole in the top. And it's hard to drink out of. So actually strain your ice from, you know, clogging the spout at the top. So really cool bottle. Also added measurement markings inside of it. And, just awesome product. But iceshaker.com is our website. You can follow me personally at Chris Gronkowski on Twitter, Instagram, and our handles for all of Ice Shaker are Ice Shaker Bottle.
Amazing, Chris. And also, you're going to be the keynote at the Dallas SBA coming up next month, correct?
Yeah, I was asked to do it, so got to get a little more details on it, but I'm happy to be there.
Fantastic. Chris, thank you so much for your time, and I want to wish you a lot of luck going forward with your product.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and review our podcast on iTunes, which will allow you to be the first ones to know when new episodes are updated. Also, please visit our website at ojchamber.com. And if you aren't yet a member, please make sure to sign up. Membership is free. Thank you so much, and speak to you soon.